This week, all of the major U.S. equities indices touched their highest level on record as the rush for higher-yielding securities continues. Welcome back, everyone. Your host, Chris Waltzek. Just a pleasure to be with you this weekend with two more big guest interviews. The hurricane crisis continued this week with Puerto Rico now the target, this time by Maria, which cut most of the island's electricity. Our prayers go out to the latest victims of this brutal hurricane season, including those of Irma and Harvey. This week's top interviews includes Chris Blasi, president of Neptune Global. He has an interesting perspective on the gold and silver markets, noting that he thinks we're now in a secular bull market that could extend 20 to 25 years, twice that of the 1970s. His PMC ounce system is a diversified portfolio that lessens volatility through weighted positions in precious metals. You can find the chart up on his webpage. We also delve into the blockchain revolution on just how it will disrupt almost every industry and bureaucracy through decentralization, creating new industries while eliminating wasteful processes. Then Andy Schechtman of Miles Franklin, a nearly 30-year-old company, rejoins the show. He has ways to store and purchase precious metals through Brink's safety deposit boxes in Vancouver and Toronto, and he makes the very generous offer to purchase gold bullion coins, exchange them, or swap them for brilliant uncirculated walking liberties so you can stack not only ounces but numismatics as well. And the Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900 with the mailbox number 514049. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest report. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Mostly cloudy skies persisted for the second week over the precious metals sector. Gold fell just $27, finishing at $1,297, while silver gave back $72, ending around $17 an ounce. The precious metals XAU shares fell only 2 points, ending at 86, but black gold bucked the trend, climbing 77 cents, 1.5%, ending at $50.66 per barrel as OPEC members prepare to meet in Vienna, potentially discussing further output cuts. The top story impacting the markets this week, clearly the U.S. dollar rallied despite North Korea's foreign minister's comments late Thursday at a UN meeting that his country might consider a nuclear bomb of unprecedented scale in the Pacific, a test that is. The escalating tensions seem to be the new norm between the U.S. and North Korea. Most markets yawned following the announcement to ignite a potential hydrogen bomb. Moving on, the Fed indicated Wednesday at the FOMC meeting plans to raise rates once more, and not at the upcoming November meeting, but in the December meeting. The current Fed funds futures indicate 71% odds of a rate hike, which weighed heavily this week on the precious metals market and buoyed the greenback somewhat. The central bank also announced plans to unwind its $4 trillion balance sheet beginning in October, but still the St. Louis Fed's graph indicates zero signs of quantitative tightening, or QT, suggesting it was just more Fed gibberish. Elsewhere, India's festive season began this week, with jewelers noting record gold demand, a favorite gift during the season. Precious metals, bottom line. Well, the CRB and West Texas crude continue to carve out compellingly bullish patterns. The XAU also held up well. Platinum seems like a remarkable value relative to gold, silver, and palladium. For the time being, I expect more sideways action. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, visibility virtually unlimited over the New York Stock Exchange. Despite increasing tensions with North Korea, the Dow Jones blasted higher by 81 more points, closing at 22,350, yet another all-time record weekly close and approximately over its 120-year track record. The S&P picked up 2 points, closing at 2502 for the first time in its trading history. It also was a record. And the NASDAQ touched a new high but then dropped 22 for the week at 6426. Bitcoin ETF added 33 points, ending at 663, while my favorite Komodo coin, KMD, ended near the break-even point around 162. U.S. stocks rebounded from lows on Fridays, with 6 of the 11 sectors in positive territory. The telecoms were the best-performing sector, gaining about 1.5%. Healthcare shares rebounded on reports that the healthcare bill to repeal the Affordable Care Act might not pass. Top stocks in the news, Sprint Corp, ticker S, and T-Mobile, ticker TMUS, both rallied following a report that the companies were on track for a merger. Sprint picked up 6% and T-Mobile about 1%. CarMax, KMX, jumped nearly 8% on better-than-expected quarterly earnings and revenues. Equifax picked up 7%. And Apple, however, finished down just 1%, about 5% on the week. Analysts noted less enthusiasm over the upcoming iPhone launch. Clearly, we need the Steves back at Apple, Jobs and Woz. Bottom line on equities. The expected bounce noted in the last report did come to pass this week. Now it looks like the pendulum has swung sharply in the other direction. The 7 indicator greed to fear index is solidly in the greedy category for the second week running. I wouldn't be surprised to see a consolidation in the coming weeks with the proviso. All 3 market indexes did record higher highs and higher lows this week. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio. Always great to welcome back to the show founder of Miles Franklin, Precious Metals Investment Company, in business for 28 years. Welcome back, Andy Schechtman.
Hey, Chris. Thanks, man. It's great to be here. I appreciate it very much.
We were having some interesting discussions before the show. I mean, you were just laying out some key differences between Miles Franklin and some of the others that have run into some big trouble online. I'm just going to let you run with the ball there.
Yeah, sure. You know, look, we live in a very homogenous world, and I think this is important on many levels. But we live in a homogenous world where it seems to me now, the people call it the Amazon effect, where everything boils down to price. And maybe in certain respects, if you're buying a roll of toilet paper, that's fine. But when you're talking about spending large sums of money and buying precious metals in a federally non-regulated industry, reputation should be very, very important. If we look at what's happened over the last now 5 years, we see a troubling pattern, Chris. We see Tulving going out of business 4 years ago. We see the next year, Bullion Direct going out of business. In both cases, fraud, bankruptcy, owners in prison. Last year, Northwest Territorial Mint, the biggest company in the country, had been running a 7-year Ponzi scheme, and their owner in prison, and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars once again stolen. And now this year, just last couple weeks ago, a large lawsuit filed against by the CFTC against Monex for fraud. This is a federally non-regulated industry, and price should be important, but if it is your determining factor, history over the last 4 or 5 years has proven that the 5 biggest online companies in the country, or thereabouts, all of which are amongst the cheapest in the country, have gone out of business, stolen money, and their owners are in prison. We have been in business for 28 years, Chris, and more importantly than that, we've never had one customer complaint, not one. You can spend all day looking online, you won't find one. We've never had a complaint levied against us by the Better Business Bureau, ever. We've maintained an A-plus rating. In $6 billion in sales and 28 years in transactions, we have not aggravated someone enough to file a complaint against us or to write something nasty about us online. All of that is something that we're very, very proud of, and we do hang our hat on. But the state of Minnesota, Chris, said, you know what, we don't care. State of Minnesota said, we're going to be the only state, because of this track record nationally of fraud in the federally non-regulated precious metals industry, the state of Minnesota said, we're the only state in the country that will regulate your industry. And as such, if you sell gold out of the state of Minnesota, as we do, or you are any other company in the country selling into the state of Minnesota, you must be licensed to the Commissioner of Commerce, background checked every year by every employee, and every principal, including the owners, have to be background checked. If any of us have a felony related to financial services, we are forever blackballed from the industry. And continuing education, compliance officers, and an enormous surety bond that we have to place to guarantee that if anything ever went down in terms of theft or impropriety, clients would be remunerated immediately and bounty hunters would be sent to find me wherever I was hiding. The point is that the state of Minnesota has made this the only state in the country that regulates the industry, and as such, I do not know of one company nationally that is licensed in the state of Minnesota. They're all boycotting the state. We're not going to go through all of that, licensing, background checks, and surety bond, and continuing education. If that's the only state that that's the issue, then we'll work with every other state. So here in Minnesota, we embrace that, Chris. We embrace it because it means that your clients or your listeners or our clients and your listeners, whoever decided to do business with us, would never, ever, ever be ripped off. And in an industry that has seen $150 million stolen by the five biggest companies in the last 5 years, 4.5 years, that's something that should not be taken lightly.
What do you think it is that leads to that impropriety?
First and foremost, you have no government oversight. You have no one looking over your shoulder or slapping your wrist. If you look in the securities world, you can't overcharge someone. There are certain limits that the SEC puts in, the insurance commission put in, as it pertains to variable annuities or to securities, how much commission you can make, how much you can charge. You can't churn. There are all sorts of things that you can't do in securities and insurance, or you face big, big, big penalties and jail time. In this industry, that's not the case. In this industry, there's no one there to look over the company's shoulder saying, no, you can't do it that way, and if you do, you're going to jail. It doesn't happen. And so what happens when you're dealing with very large sums of money and no governmental oversight, I guess the attraction for some is too hard to pass up. You know, I don't think that a lot of these guys started out that way, and nor did Bernie Madoff. But when you steal from Peter to pay Paul, it works sometimes. But when the market slows down or people start selling very, very quickly, that is a model that gets you in hot water. And that's kind of what's happened with all of these companies. They were running some sort of a Ponzi scheme where delivery kept taking longer and longer and longer and longer. They were using the money for other endeavors, figuring the next check would pay the past obligations. And in an industry where there's really no oversight, that's what happens. And that's why the state of Minnesota stepped in and said, it's not going to happen here. And although we've never had even one complaint in the 28 years, and even though deep down I view the regulation as a drag, it costs me money, they are very invasive, I have to personally guarantee everything, and in terms of surety bonds, I mean, the whole nine yards, it's something that I don't like doing. However, it makes us different, and I am very, very, very happy to embrace it, because counterparty risk really should be more important to people than it really is. I think it will probably take more of a center stage as time goes on and times get tougher.
Before we move on to the markets or anything, why don't you give us an idea about some of your storage services? And you already touched on this, your Brinks services, as well as those outside the United States, obviously in Canada. Give us an overview.
So we have some real neat products with Brinks. We've been given worldwide exclusives on a couple. We have, first and foremost, we have our Bellwether program with Brinks Montreal. That's going on its seventh year. What differentiates that program from most others in the industry is the way that the clients are billed. Every other facility in the industry that I am aware of charges clients on a percentage of asset value. Meaning, if you store $1 million worth of product, you pay a percentage of the value of that product. So let's say it's 50 basis points on that amount. As the price goes up, your storage price goes up because you're paying a percentage of the value of what it is that is stored. And the reason that all the storage facilities in the industry, or in the world for that matter, employ that type of pricing strategy or billing strategy is because the largest component of cost in storage is insurance. And so if what you're insuring is going up in value, so too is what you're going to charge those whom you're insuring for. Well, we went to Brinks and asked them if we could be different. And we negotiated rather than a percentage of asset value, we negotiated a fixed rate based upon the number of ounces that the client was storing. So that's first and foremost. We have a fixed rate, and it won't go higher. So you're betting on the come, so to speak, with that facility, with that program. You're betting that the price goes higher and your storage rate stays stagnant. And I think that's why we all own gold, is because deep down we feel it's going higher. If that be the case, then this is the program you would want. We also have just opened up, as of last November, and got a worldwide exclusive grant on this from Brinks, the first and only in North America fully insured safe deposit box program in Vancouver and in Toronto. Fully insured safe deposit boxes, where they are brand new, state-of-the-art one-key boxes, not the two keys where the bank holds the master and the client holds the other. These are one-key boxes where the client gets the only key and the only spare, and everything is fully, fully insured. Clients are able to access the facility if they wish, or we send them a Federal Express air bill, and it goes directly up to Brinks in Toronto or in Vancouver, and the business is transacted on their behalf. But what is really important about that program, above all else, is that the IRS has been very evasive as to what is and what is not reportable outside the country. When we started our Brinks program 6.5 years ago, we asked the IRS to please tell us what they meant by directly held, because they were very clear in saying precious metals held outside the United States, in order to be not reportable, must be directly held in a non-financial institution. So as we were building this program, we figured directly held meant segregated. Well, we certainly went extra in having 2 third-party audits per year on that account to make sure that the accounts were indeed segregated. We use Inspectorate, and I believe Inspectorate audits GLD. This is a big-time third-party auditing company that was referred to us by the Royal Canadian Mint. They come in and they guarantee that what is held, directly held, as we believe it to be, in Montreal is held in those clients' names. Well, we continued to ask the IRS. We said, look, we were saying to ourselves, look, we're segregating this. We're auditing it twice per year. That's got to be directly held, right? Well, we kept asking the IRS anonymously through 3 different attorneys. And they finally came back to these attorneys and said, we reserve the right to not tell you what directly held is. About a year later, they came out with a form. And if your listeners were to Google Basic Questions and Answers, Form 8938, what you would find on the IRS website is that they've come out and said in writing that a safe deposit box in a non-financial institution, and that's what Brinks is 100% non-reportable to both FACTA, Form 8938, and FBAR, which goes to the Treasury. So they have in writing on their website, and you can Google this, Basic Questions and Answers, Form 8938, you will see that this account, not only is it billed on a fixed rate, but it is the only fully insured, fully compliant by FACTA and FBAR storage facility in North America. We're very, very, very proud of it. Clients can, or listeners can go to privatesafedepositboxes.net, privatesafedepositboxes.net, and check out that program with any questions. They can feel free to give me a call as well.
Okay, give us an idea then what you see on the markets. Bearishness still left over, if you will, from the bear market. And people are, though, starting to get interested again in the precious metals. You're right there in the middle of it. You see the flow, the ebb and the tide, if you will, of these markets on a forward basis.
Well, I think over the last year or so, really the only difference between the precious metals market and a funeral were the flowers. And it's been a rough ride, at least since President Trump was elected. It's been unexpected. Would have thought it would be much better. I know many, many owners in the industry in my same position, many of which are hanging on by their fingernails. This is something that is counterintuitive. It's very counterintuitive to what's happening in the world. And it's something that I've been talking about publicly for quite some time. It's the concept I see of misdirection. The concept of misdirection, which is more pervasively taught than people would think. It's the concept of misdirection as taught in the book The Art of War, a 5th century book, a book written in the 5th century by Sun Tzu, military strategist for the Chinese military in the 5th century BC. He wrote this book, and it's really impacted my life and the way that I look at things. And this book, the more I researched it, Chris, found that it was taught in every major business school in America on corporate hierarchy. It's taught in every major law school in the country on formulating arguments. It is taught at West Point. It is mandatory reading if you're a CIA officer. It is mandatory reading for military officers. It is a book taught by just about, or mandatory reading for just about every major Japanese business executive. The whole concept of this book is misdirection, how to beat your opponent without throwing a punch, something that I take very seriously when I look at the precious metals market. What I have seen over the last few years when I look at the commercial banks, in particular JP Morgan, is a concerted effort to create a perception of reality that is counterintuitive to what the world is showing us. In other words, the world is aflame in so many areas, and the price of metals has gone nowhere but sideways or down. And at the same time, we look at JP Morgan, and over the last 3.5 years, they have amassed over 650 million ounces of physical silver. That is the largest single stockpile of silver the world has ever seen. At a period of time when we've seen silver get cut by 2/3 in value, and they have ramped up physical acquisition in their house account by that amount. In other words, they have created a perception of reality that says silver is bad, and yet they have gone in, because they're the largest short seller on COMEX, yet they have gone in and they have acquired four or five times more silver than the Hunt brothers tried to corner in 1980, and yet no one talks about it. Citibank and Goldman Sachs in 2016, as the price of gold had gone down, had acquired, I believe the number was 1,200 metric tons of gold amongst the two of them. What we are seeing is classic misdirection. Big, big, big money is creating a perception of reality that commodities are bad and equities and currencies are good, and then they come in under the cover of darkness, when everyone is misdirected, looking the other way, and they gobble up the physical commodities, the physicals. So the moral of the story is that the people in this country, in the United States, are always last to the party, and they are being misdirected into equities and into currency. They are being misdirected out of physical commodities. Look at the U.S. mint sales. They are the lowest they have been I can ever remember. The U.S. mint sales are beyond abysmal, yet the commercial banks are loading up on gold and silver unlike anything anyone's ever seen physically. So you put it all together and you see what I believe is the big money, the smart investor, the big guy, getting in before the little guy realizes that the game has been changed. And so as it pertains to my industry, you better have a good, and this is one of the things we talk about with the Minnesota licensing. You better have good financials right now if you're a precious metals company, because it's a very difficult market. We're going to still do $200 million in sales, but that's 25% off of what we did last year. And we've been around for almost 3 decades. There are a lot of companies out there who've only, you know, been on the scene for a few years and have a big advertising expense and big internet expense, and they're not doing a lot of business. So I guess what I would say to you is simply this. When I look at the future and I see the positioning of the big boys, I know where this is going. But when I look at the here and now and realize how big of a game this is, how big of the stakes really are, I think that it's going to be incredibly bumpy. And when I look at the positioning right now of the COMEX market, it's the exact same thing that we've seen over and over and over again that really pisses people off and gets them exasperated and giving up, and that is the big commercial banks allow the speculators to jump in and push the price of gold and silver way up and record massive numbers of long open interest on the COMEX, and they come in and they smash it time in and time again. And if you look at the positioning right now, there's only been one time since 2011 where they've had more short contracts, that being the commercial banks, in gold and silver. They are concertedly trying to push the price down and to cap it against a very, very large open speculative interest. It's the same thing that continues to happen. It washes and rinses and repeats. One of these days, the commercial banks will get their lunch. But the interesting thing about all of it is that I think the commercial banks realize that one of these days are coming sooner than most of us think because of their physical positions. And so if your intentions are to acquire large amounts of metal, well, the one thing you don't want it to do is to go up in price because it attracts too much attention. So instead, they've capped it. They've kept it very volatile inside a very tight trading range. And counterintuitively to what's happening, which aggravates the investor tremendously because they make a very concerted, well-thought-out decision to protect themselves and their family with precious metals for very, very logical, mathematical, economical decisions that make great sense, and yet it doesn't happen, and it goes the other way, and they get exasperated. So the bottom line is that I think where we're ending up, where we will end up, those people who will hold gold and silver will be thrilled that they did. But sometimes you just need to shut your computer off and not look at it every single day, because the big picture looks promising for metals holders. The short-term fluctuations do not.
I just add here another component to this puzzle. In the big picture, I think it's easy to forget that we have an organized movement here by central bankers around the world and our policymakers to hold rates artificially low, which forces everyone, retirees, we're talking about people on fixed incomes, to find a way to get by each year. And in order to do that, they have to take risk. Well, people turn to what? They turn to equities. They turn to shares. They turn to anything to eke out just a little more return on their hard-earned wealth. And that distracts people from real money, which is gold and silver.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you say that, because if we talk about where the gold suppression stuff ever happened, it all happened because of the low interest rate policy that the Fed has embarked upon really for the better part of 25 or 30 years. And it all centers around an economic theory called Gibson's paradox, which basically says the lower the interest rate, the greater the interest in precious metals as they move inversely of each other. Real interest rates and gold should move inversely. In other words, with real high interest rates, people would supposedly buy treasuries with safety. With real low interest rates, there's no reason to buy a 30-year government bond paying 2%. It's just ridiculous. The point of it is that Gibson's paradox, which started this whole thing back in the 90s, is why the central banks forward sold their gold into the marketplace to kill the canary in the mine shaft. All of that changed in roughly in 2001 with 9/11 and Afghanistan and Iraq, and their motivation changed. But yes, their motivation to create a perception of an illusion of prosperity through these low interest rates, at some point you have to pay the piper, and the piper is paid by, like you say, the retirees who are scrambling just to make something. And the low interest rates certainly have their own set of ramifications, and we're beginning to see that. And it's also, as it pertains to the price of precious metals, you know, as they keep these interest rates very low, Gibson's paradox would say gold and silver should move very much higher. So they have really been spending as much ammunition as possible to kill that canary in the mine shaft over the last 15, 20 years because of the low interest rates. And so, look, if I had a dollar for every time people said interest rates should rise right now, I could buy myself a few gold coins. And so I think that the whole crux of pretty much most of the problems we see economically stem from manipulation of interest rates. And it's always been to create a perception or an illusion of wealth.
Keeping with your Art of War theme from Sun Tzu, which I think we all probably have at least one copy right on the desktop, my favorite quote probably is, "Every battle is won and lost before it ever begins." Well, I would just try to encourage our listeners today to keep that in mind, that the battle is won. Precious metals will eclipse all this paper fiat money, nonsense, machination schemes. Eventually, you know, the king of currencies will dominate the market. But the key here is the timing. Try to ignore the short-term gyrations.
Well, first of all, I, I think you said that very well. That's exactly what I was trying to say, is that don't get distracted by the trees, see the forest. The only parting thoughts that I would have would be just to trust your gut. Most of us go through life saying, knew I should have done that. Why did I let go right at that moment when I should have been hanging on? And emotions are a very powerful thing. As far as pertains to this market, trust your gut, trust your instincts, and have strong fingertips. Hold on through these movements and look at what the big boys are doing. The big boys, the commercial banks, are positioning themselves for something big, as are the Chinese, as are the Russians, as are all of the smart money are positioning themselves for a change. For your listeners who have sweated this out as long as they have, hold tight, trust your gut, trust your instincts, and we would love to work with your listeners. If there's anything that we can do to assist in storage, in acquisition, in selling, whatever they want, or just to get some information, we can be found at milesfranklin.com. Our two storage sites are Precious Metal, singular, preciousmetalstorage.net. That is our Montreal and our Vancouver regular storage account with Brinks. And our safe deposit box website is privatesafedepositboxes.net. That is also with Brinks in both Vancouver and Toronto. And I can be reached directly at 1-800-822-8080. I'm always happy to answer questions. I guess the last thing I'll leave you with, Chris, in a homogenous world, the two things that set Miles Franklin apart are accessibility. I'm always available by cell phone. 612-290-2729. How many of your guests pass out their cell phone number? I do. I'm always accessible. I'm always available. We're always trying to earn people's trust in business. Accessibility and accountability. We've never had a customer complaint in 28 years, and we'll make sure that whomever is listening to this show won't be the first. Always appreciate the opportunity, Chris. It means a lot to be here, and we take it very seriously. So thank you very much again.
Andy, I agree with you. As you say, in a homogenous world, you know, anything that can separate you from the pack, any heterogeneous aspects are appreciated. And we've seen that here in our dealings with Miles Franklin. So I want our listeners to know, two thumbs up from us. I mean, definitely the customer service and the personal contact is something that separates you from the herd.
I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, and it's what I really hang my hat on. You know, when you email me, I get back to you immediately, and it's the same way with all my clients. It doesn't take much to reply, and it's something we're always talking about here at Miles Franklin to make sure that the customer is treated the right way. Give us a chance. You won't be let down.
The folks working for you, they encapsulate that ethic that you're sharing with the listeners today.
Very much. In fact, all of our brokers here, have been in this industry as long, or with the exception of one, has been in our industry as long or longer than me. And I've been doing this since 1989. I'm 47 years old. I've been doing it since I was 19. Most of the brokers here are older than me, and they all started at Investment Rarities with my father in the early 80s and have moved with them over the years here. Most of them have been doing this for 30-plus years. So anybody you talk to at Miles Franklin is going to be able to speak to you about geopolitical events, about economics, about political events, about big world ramifications. And you're not going to be disappointed when you call and speak with anybody here. And so that's why we prefer personal communication rather than doing everything online. And I think in a world that we live in that is beginning to change so rapidly, relationships are very important. We're good at relationships, and we're good at treating people the right way. And so give us a chance, and whether it be myself personally or any of the brokers or any of the staff here, I can promise that all of your listeners will be treated with care, professionally and expediently. So they won't have to wait, they won't get a voicemail, and they'll be treated the right way the first time. And that's why I put my cell phone on my business card. I'll be at a conference in Hollywood, Florida. I think you're going to be there. Tomorrow I'm going there. I'll be speaking there, and I will have a booth there. And I'll have 500 business cards on my booth with my cell phone number on it. And because when it's important, you want to talk to somebody. You never realize how important that type of situation is until you need it. And then it becomes the most important thing in the world. Well, we try to alleviate that right from the get-go. And so, you know, that is Miles Franklin. That is what makes Miles Franklin different from all the online companies. Yeah, we have a little bit of an online presence, but our real bread and butter is personal communication, relationships. And I think the further away we get from relationships, the greater the magnetism that will pull us back to it. In the end, we're all about communication and relationships, and everything doesn't have to be non-personal on the internet. There could come a time where that will be the least proficient way to do business, and the most proficient way is the old-fashioned way, and that's to get on the phone and chat with someone and make sure your wishes and your instructions and your things that are important to you are conveyed, and that's something we're good at. We'll always make sure that, given the opportunity, that we'll prove that to your people.
And maybe we'll just leave it with one more concept from The Art of War. That is, always avoid the killing field. If victory is not assured, do not engage in battle ever. Always avoid conflict. The idea here is to hold in for the long term, and you will be victorious, but don't get caught in there, you know, trying to time these markets, because it looks like they have the upper hand there.
And that is exactly perfectly said. One thing I will add to that, because of the manipulations of the market, we see great anomalies. Continually, lately, have been seeing great anomalies. And yes, it is a buy and hold market, for sure. It is, especially when you look at the big picture. But there are opportunities within that framework, such as trading gold to silver. You could argue very strongly that any time you get above 70 to 1 on the ratio, 70 ounces of silver buying 1 ounce of gold, it is a gift and should be converted, gold to silver. You could argue that buying gold numismatics right now is a very, very smart deal. This is something that I only sold numismatics in the 90s, haven't touched them in over a decade because they got too expensive, told everyone not to buy them. In fact, in 2007, 8, 9, I was telling everyone to sell them and buy bullion. Numismatics are lower than I've ever seen in 30 years. Because of these anomalies, there are opportunities where you can reposition or trade some gold to platinum. Here again, it's an anomaly. The relationship between the two, or platinum and palladium, there are more anomalies in the marketplace right now than I've ever seen. And so while it's important to hang on, it's also a good idea, maybe an opportunity for your listeners to give us a call and ask us about this and let us show you mathematically, logically, why maybe trading some gold to silver or to platinum or some bullion to numismatics may make sense for you. And I think we can show you very logically, non-emotionally, how that pans out. So, yes, we hold for the long term, but it's also good to once in a while take a reflection, take a look at your account and see if repositioning, bearing in mind they have a 90% correlation through all of history in terms of their movement, or moving to some numismatics or getting some more platinum, repositioning might make sense. So that's something we're good at as well. And if any of your listeners would like to call me directly and chat about that, my direct dial is also 1-800-255-1129, or our main switchboard number, 800-822-8080. Any of the brokers here would be more than happy to chat with you.
You've caught my attention. Obviously, you're referring to the gold to silver ratio there. When that ratio is out of whack between gold and silver, there's a potential to obviously exchange or arbitrage one for the other. Is it really worthwhile, though, when you factor in capital gains and losses, things of that nature?
Some people it's not. Some people may have purchased it at much higher rates, and making that switch, or lower rates rather, making that switch, selling the gold to buy silver doesn't make sense. But if you're trading gold bullion to gold numismatics, that's a like-for-like exchange in some cases. If we're calling apples to apples, if you bought gold at a higher price and sold it, got the capital gain loss that you booked, the capital loss, and that's where the reporting requirements end. So let's just run through this real quick, and I'll let you run. Let's say you decided to do this. So you have 50 ounces of gold that you bought at $1,600 an ounce. You sell those 50 ounces of gold to us. We buy them at today's rate. Let's call it 13 and a quarter. You now book that $275 per coin loss, and that's where your reporting requirements end. You have no more reporting requirements. You tell your accountant, I sold 50 ounces of gold for a $275 loss per ounce in 2017. Here's my receipt. The accountant will never ask you what you did with the proceeds. With the proceeds, you turn around, you swap them into silver at a appropriate ratio, getting far greater upside potential in your silver, getting a tax break on your taxes, and privacy that you just sent to the federal government that you sold your metal in 2017. So the point of it is that there are options or times where it works. And if you were to Google gold-silver ratio, one of the very first things that will pop up, in fact, I found it on golddealer.com, gold-to-silver ratio, and it goes all the way back to 1915. And if you were to put a ruler at 70 to 1 on that graph, you will see that anytime you're above 70 to 1, you're in rarefied air. And 90% of this graph is below 70 to 1. So when you are at 70 to 1 on this ratio, it is screaming, make the switch, so that you have much, much, much better potential because of the volume of silver to gold than you do with gold. And again, when we talk about gold and silver, to us, it's not an investment, it's wealth. But if you're looking to increase your wealth, then you take advantage of these anomalies. And this is a very unusual market right now that has various anomalies that should be exploited, whether it be gold to silver or gold to platinum or gold to gold numismatics or palladium, out of palladium into platinum because it's gone up too fast in relation to platinum, or into silver. I mean, there's just a million things that we can talk about that are highly unusual. And I'll leave your listeners with this. If I had to encapsulate what has made me successful over the last 30 years, 29 years, it has been exploiting anomalies. And over the past 30 years, there's only been about four or five of them that I can really think about. And they're always short-lived. Four or five of them right now. Typically, you see one every few years, not four or five together at the same time, which tells me that Mother Nature is being messed with right now. Mother Nature will level the playing field. And so I think if you really want to get the most out of your metals portfolio, yeah, you hold them, but you also, there are times when you exploit these anomalies and take advantage of what is highly unusual. It would be as if it snowed in Phoenix tonight, and Phoenix aren't going to run off to buy snowmobiles tomorrow because it's an anomaly.
And I'm so glad you brought this to our listeners' attention because, you know, the markets do have a tendency to return to the mean. And you probably like, you know, Bollinger Bands like myself. I'd love to see those three standard deviation moments. Sounds to me like you've identified several here. And the key takeaway, this is a gift. It doesn't come around every day due to repositioning by the central banks, as well as the interest rates you referred to and so many other issues going on. Markets are out of whack because, frankly, we haven't been very big on numismatics simply because so many folks have been burned. You know how they're pumped by some of the unscrupulous dealers. And when folks really should be stacking ounces, you know, they were stacking numismatics at the peak.
Circulated $20 gold pieces right now for less than gold. A 1900 $20 Liberty in AU grade. It'll look brand new. It's in a gold eagle. Career, I have never seen that. In 2008, I was flying around the country paying people a $400 premium to a $1,000 gold price. For those coins, I would have bought as many as you had, swapped into gold bullion back then. That was what I was telling people to do because there was an anomaly in 2008. The numismatic market went crazy right before Obama got elected because everyone thought confiscation was coming. I flew all around the country buying back everyone's portfolio and swapping them into bullion because this anomaly was so unusual. All of a sudden, premiums are higher than I'd ever seen by huge degrees. It's the opposite of what we're talking about right now. And that is because markets have a way of going from a fair value to extreme overvaluation. And when they correct back through fair value to undervaluation where we are now. And that's exactly what has happened. And part of the reason that this market got so crazy is because the dealers cannot hedge that premium. The dealers can only hedge the amount of gold that they have. But when that premium got way out of whack, huge premiums, a lot of dealers got burned. Gold that they had was all hedged, but that premium, if you have 1,000 coins in your inventory, each of which have a $400 premium attached to them, that's $400,000 you have of unhedgeable risk. You can hedge the metal value, but when the metal drops, often the premium drops with it. So the dealers then, let's just say the premium got cut in half. You just lost $200,000. You won't make that much selling five times that amount. Ramona. So the point of it is that this market got real crazy. Now the premiums have disappeared altogether on circulated numismatics and even low-grade uncirculated, to the point where you can buy this stuff at the same price as bullion. That is an anomaly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There are real opportunities where your listeners don't have to spend a penny.
Now, if the typical listener gives you a call, gives your brokers a call, sends emails, can they swap their, let's say, mint Golden Eagles?
We will send them boxes, labels, packing material. We will insist with insurance on shipping everything back. And I've never seen a lost registered mail package ever in 30 years, ever. Turn around and send you back whatever you wanted in numismatics, real easy for you. And by the way, Gold Eagles carry no dealer reporting requirements whatsoever. It's the honor system on anything you were ever to trade. So in that example, yes, we would buy back the Gold Eagles, swap them right into the numismatic coins, whatever they wanted. The numbers would be enough to make people say, yeah, I like that idea. I wouldn't bring this up if I didn't think it was a heck of an opportunity. But yes, that's exactly how it works. They send back their coins by registered and insured mail. The minute those coins are received, we turn around and send back whatever it is we agreed upon.
This is why we appreciate having you on the show, because you bring value for our listeners and to Gold Seek.
Well, I love to be on the show with you, Chris. I really do. I appreciate the opportunity. Hope to see you this week down in Florida. I'm always here for you. If there's anything I can do or for your listeners, feel free to reach out and give us a holler.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Pleasure to welcome Chris Blasi, president of Neptune Global Holdings, today on his debut appearance. Welcome, Chris Blasi.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's start off with a brief overview of your background and interesting experience.
I had a lot of extensive experience in both the financial world and technology. I was with one of the major broker-dealers for a number of years, and then I worked with a boutique M&A firm. I did merchant banking and mergers and acquisition. And then I spent a little over a decade with one of the major technology firms.
Why don't we begin today with the precious metals market? Investors, of course, becoming much more interested in the sector now that the greenback has slid below support levels over the past several years. People are turning to the safe haven of gold and silver in particular.
I think the most important thing is really the big picture. I mean, precious metals are driven by what's going on macroeconomically. Don't really invest in them for the very short term, right? The physical precious metal, which is what we specialize in. I know everyone gets caught up in the day-to-day, you know, what's the news of the day? But really, precious metals, the view that needs to be taken is big picture. And that big picture, from the way we see it, is in 2001, gold bottomed at $255 an ounce and entered into a secular bull market. And secular bull markets tend to run 20 to 25 years in duration. And the pattern so far has been a textbook pattern. So as much negativity as there is about precious metals, I think if you step back and look, it's actually unfolding, as I said, in a textbook way. And just real quickly, there's basically three legs to a secular bull market. The first one up, the second is a pullback and multi-year cyclical bear, where there's a major retracement in the price. And then the third leg is the biggest and offers the greatest returns. And that first leg was basically completed in 2012. That pullback intermediate cyclical bear ran until December of 2015. Since the beginning of 2016 until now, it is basically grinding higher in what we believe is the third leg.
It reminds one a bit of Elliott Wave analysis. However, there will be the listener today who might point to the 1970s when we talk about a 20 to 25 year bull market. Can you help them to understand how what we saw from, let's say, 2001 to 2011 or 2012, that 10 to 12 year period may not just represent a parallel with the 1970s, that it might double in its length this time?
Sure. So the 1970s, as far as peak price, of course, we've already exceeded that, which was 800 an ounce in 1980. From when gold peaked in 1980 until 2001, that was a secular bear market, which is really just the reverse of the cyclical bull. And that was a 21-year run, fit the pattern, peaking gold at 800 in 1980, did a first leg down. Then there was a multi-year rally, right, the reverse, because it was a cyclical bear, and then it continued to plunge until it bottomed in 2001. In the 1970s, of course, we know gold had the big run. Nixon takes us off the gold standard officially in the beginning of that decade, and then gold ran. And, you know, we had great inflation, and then we know Paul Volcker broke inflation, and therefore then gold went in its bear market. But comparing the 1970s until now, and really, you know, why we believe the upside for gold far exceeds the 1970s. In the 1970s, the basic structure, the financial structure of the United States, its institutions were far more sound than they are now. The nation was far more aligned and cohesive back then. Now we have basically bankrupt institutions top to bottom, for everything from pension funds to the national debt. And culturally, we have a nation that's fraying at the seams. And for anyone who may think that a country can fall apart culturally and socially, but still maintain a healthy economic system, that's just not possible. The whole foundation of the country right now, as compared to the 1970s, is completely different, with it being much more precarious now. And therefore, to your earlier point, the upside potential for gold and the precious metals is far greater now.
You know, it's interesting you'd bring up the cultural aspects of the current national dilemma. You know, just a basic tome like Fiat Money, Inflation in France, Dixon White, as a reminder of some of the signs, some of the red flags that accompany almost the destruction of a republic. We're seeing so many of those signs, gambling, as people find it virtually impossible to earn a living wage. It was first in the periphery. Now it's starting to come to the fore. Guaranteed income, not just in North America, but around the globe, and maybe emblematic of this world that I think you alluded to. Give us an idea of how gold and precious metals might help us insulate ourselves from that type of environment.
Well, Chris, yeah, those are great points. And so what's gold? What's its position in the world that we're in right now? And I think we're going into a, you know, kind of a meat grinder, right? And, you know, when you talk about like things like ideas like guaranteed income, that's just, you know, hyper-socialism, which is if socialism fails, hyper-socialism will fail to an order of magnitude greater. And I think for those of us who can see this coming and aren't delusional, and don't believe that, you know, the Fed can sit and play with their little dials and manage things. You go into a safe haven, like gold, in the physical form, right? Participating in a Wall Street-created derivative or paper version is not going to serve you. And basically, it's like you're going through a storm, right? And then you want to come out the other end financially intact, or at least in a far better position than the next person. And therefore, you have then the capital and the resources to rebuild and basically take care of yourself and your those who are dependent on you. You know, it's not like holding gold will make it painless, because as a society deteriorates and falls, it's going to be very uncomfortable. It's not going to be pleasant. Gold is not a cure for that, or you're not going to avoid it, but it's so you can hopefully come out more intact than the masses.
Exactly. One of our guests was fond of saying crystallizing your wealth so that once the storm passes, you can rebuild. You know, you've written extensively on the risk of 401k that so many folks are pinning their hopes on. Trillions now are invested here in the United States, $3 to $4 trillion in just Tokyo alone. So in the Western world, pension funds are a huge question mark. You seem to think, and others have also made this point on this show, that perhaps desperate policymakers might just reach into that coffer. Give us an idea of how there might be contingencies to protect ourselves.
So that's a great point. And, you know, that's a speculation, but I think it's fairly well thought out. So if, your listeners think about it, right, we have, hundreds and hundreds of billions, if not trillions, of pensions that are totally unfunded. Does the federal government turn around and just tell all those tens of millions of voters, you know what, that's your loss, right? You're going to take your big haircut. Or are they going to ride to the rescue? And part of riding to the rescue, of course, will be more debt. But there's also that big pile of money in 401ks. And, you know, when things are failing and they're desperate, they're going to grab anything they can get their hands on. And the 401k, of course, is it's all recorded and easy to track and all ready to lock down. So I think that's a huge risk. And the person really has to evaluate what that risk is and what's best for themselves. I think it's going to be too tempting a target that's not going to be grabbed. And they're basically probably going to be told something along the line is going to be blended in with almost like a national pension system. And, of course, that will limit what their access is and even what the assets are going to be within it. And I know a number of investors that are taking action in anticipation of that.
Moving on to the U.S. equities markets, many advisors and pundits were caught off guard, most of us, in fact, by this enormous rally stemming from 2009, regularly seeing new weekly highs in the Dow Jones, 120-year records. There are still the few lone bearish holdouts who claim that we will see a return to the mean and that valuations on price-to-earnings ratios simply don't reflect corporate earnings. Your thoughts, please.
Well, Chris, you're right. I mean, it defies all the fundamentals, and it has for years. And calling, when it's going to pull back or collapse is really impossible. I mean, it should. I think maybe when the last bear finally gives in, that's when it's going to happen. I also believe it's not that difficult for, we'll call it, the powers to be, and I think your listeners know what we mean by that, to manipulate that market, right? Following, there are just a handful of stocks that are really making these highs. The broader market is far weaker. So there's a lot of, statistical gains that are part of showing the robust moves in the stock market. If you've sat out the last few years, yes, you've lost out on that upside. I can't make the call. I think at some point it's really got to give back a lot of these gains for the last 5 years. Not quite sure when that's going to happen, but I am in the kind of the bearish camp over the next 5 years or 3 to 5 years for the stock market.
No, exactly. And one would certainly expect the gains to be overshadowed by the potential for risk. Can you give us your outlook on the precious metals sector? Perhaps you might like to discuss the shares or the XAU and HUI indexes.
Gold has entered what we see as the third leg of this bull market. Of course, it's two steps forward, one back. They tend to get precious metals, gold and silver tend to get hit at times when, the enthusiasm just starts to build. But if you look back and realize that, no, it's grinding higher, right? We are now, 2016 was an up year. 2017 is going to be, it should be another up year, and not lose sight of that and just kind of hold your ground. I think one of the biggest risks when the next financial event comes, that's going to be an order of magnitude greater than 2008. I think it's going to come very swift. It's not going to give everyone a warning and a heads up and allow them a lot of time to prepare. Like any event that comes out of left field, it's going to come. You just don't know when. You need to be prepared ahead of time. Waiting till after the event to then get your affairs in order, meaning establishing a position in, stored wealth, will be too late. Either it will not be available or it'll be available at a much, much higher price. Like I said, we're kind of going into a meat grinder. I think when people look back, we're already in it. You know, everyone's kind of waiting for something that's maybe more dramatic to say that the system is imploding. But I think when the history books look back, the date will be prior to today. And I think we're in the slow motion collapse. And there's just a lot of effort to paper it over and make it look like it's not happening. But I think it's happening.
For many years, we've all wondered when the huge inflation question mark would come into play in these financial markets. You know, what was the source really absorbing this excess money supply? And, you know, now we're starting to look at this $150 to $170 billion cryptocurrency market, which obviously is sopping up an enormous amount of funds and on track, if estimates are correct, to maybe even rival the Forex $5 trillion market. Once things really start to unravel at the seams, even though cryptos are the trend, a huge theme, and will be probably for many years, eventually there will be almost no place to hide other than the precious metals. Any quick thoughts there?
Chris, you brought up a huge topic, right? Cryptocurrency. I mean, that is a subject that we could spend hours on. I think on a high level, it's a wide open field right now. And it's the hot topic, and if you bring it up, you're going to get a lot of listeners. I also think there's some misperceptions, and I think there's also a degree of being a little too optimistic as far as their anonymity goes and their being outside of the system. You know, having been in big tech for a long time, if your wealth is going to be relegated to an electronic blip that exists solely in cyberspace, there's risks to that that I think people think don't exist. And they really feel that it can function completely outside of the control or tracking of the powers that be. And all because maybe these systems, you know, these cryptocurrencies can't be hacked by a local hacker. You know, when you talk about the compute power of a nation state or such, that's quite different, and their ability to track and see what's going on. So it's a hot market, we both know, and you know that every effort will be made by the nation states. If the money's tied up there to go after it, we see already with what's coming out of China, with the threats against the exchanges. And, you know, we even know that there's regulations and directives coming out of the SEC and the IRS about cryptocurrencies and tax consequences and ramifications and such. So it's a big market, but I think you need to be, cognizant that you're probably not going to have this untouchable level of anonymity that maybe I think many think exists with cryptocurrency.
I think it's a good point. I mean, I'm a bit ambivalent here. On the one hand, we see an incredible revolution underway that is going to decentralize so much and disrupt much of the existing hegemony within our local and federal economies. But on the other, you are right. I mean, the advent now of quantum computing and qubits really rattles the whole foundation of anonymity, because the powers that be, the NSA, among many others, do have access to this quantum computing, which is a sea change in the ability to crack encryption.
Unfortunately, you know, if you kind of even look at things kind of sober, you know, there are the zealots who will attack you, right, and say you don't understand the internet. And actually, I think it's the reverse. No, I do understand the internet, and there isn't this level of anonymity, right? I mean, it's a digital highway, and the highway travels down backbones, and those backbones are controlled by the nation states.
But let's not forget that the NSA, there's considerable evidence that at least at the federal level, the entire backbone of all internet traffic is likely being sifted. So the thought that anything is fully anonymous through something like a Tor browser, it's just the past. So I think you make a great point. And you are right. I mean, this is a topic for another discussion, because I think we obviously both are fascinated, so many of us, by what's going on here in the crypto domain, because it obviously is the future. But I think, just like the internet circa maybe 92, 93, what is that future? It's evolving quickly.
And Chris, to your point, I agree 100% that the whole idea on paper, what the cryptocurrencies represent and what their potentials are, is awesome. Because what it could bring is true free markets back, right? We know there are no free markets anymore, right? Everything is manipulated. When the fact that the Fed sits around and everyone, you know, rates are determined by them is just, you know, there's no free market. There isn't a free market anything. And the cryptocurrencies basically said, you know, we can offer you a path to the free market, but that's not going to come without a war. Those that will lose power if cryptocurrencies were to develop and come to reach their potential unencumbered have too much to lose. So be skeptical, meaning I just be sober-minded about them and not be naive. And the one thing I will say is, you know, you've probably heard this comment, you know, is Bitcoin, you know, as the representative will say for cryptocurrencies, the new gold. And it's not at all. And it's not saying that Bitcoin is bad. That's not my point. But their only similarity is that they're considered out of the mainstream. But one is tangible and has survived financial crises for 5,000 years. And the other is digital, exists as an electronic blip, basically has only been around for an extremely short period.
I prefer the idea that what Bitcoin really represents is a quantum leap in fiat money. Now, whether that's good or bad, again, we get into that gray area. As a sound money enthusiast, probably like yourself, that raises a lot of alarms. But just like any other Ponzi scheme, which I would argue all financial markets are Ponzi schemes that are unbacked, there's opportunity cost associated with ignoring the potential energy there. And that's what's been unleashed here. In fact, I believe that our policymakers are only just beginning to wake up to this sea change event that the cryptos represent. For instance, it's really a blockchain revolution. And as you know, triple entry accounting, that is a great revolution that could eliminate maybe 80, 90% of government waste, corporate waste, voter fraud, so many aspects of our lives. It actually allows the value creation at an individual personal level all the way up and down, you know, the corporate hierarchy through government. I mean, it's going to change and decentralize and disrupt all technologies, but there will be a Herculean fight against this. And we don't want, I think, and neither do you want your clients to get caught up in the middle of that battle, that struggle. And I echo your sentiments that the cryptos do not represent digital gold, but I would argue that it's just digital paper money, and it threatens, you know, the hegemony of our reserve status as well as all global fiat money. And just how that plays out, I think that's another discussion for another show. Parting comments for our listeners today.
I'd love to take up the topic again because there's so much more we could talk about, especially with the blockchain, because, you know, I'll just leave by saying, yeah, I believe the underlying platform, you know, blockchain is revolutionary and has a, and if deployed and used to the best, you know, for the best interest of the masses, it can be a wonderful thing. But there will be a big fight. Precious metals are not out of the picture at all. And I think that, you know, it's just like basic reverse psychology. If they continue to be denigrated and downplayed by, you know, those who benefit from a fiat monetary system and the debt, then, you know, that means it's the right thing to probably have a position in.
Sure, diversify. Nothing wrong with building a core position as long as one has a solid portfolio base of the yellow metal and AG. And I'd just add a couple of quick anecdotes or provisos. Firstly, there is an interesting, entirely anonymous alternative to Bitcoin called Komodo. KMD is the ticker. This is an up-and-coming company. I will have to, for transparency's sake, it's up, I don't know, how many thousand percent like so many of the cryptos. This offers some interesting anonymity to the everyday transaction or the enormous corporate size transaction. Also, I'd point out that 1 gram is being brought public by Smith Crown, which is the top notch, the premier listing in the ICO space. But 1 gram actually has a gram or claims to hold 1 gram of gold per token. So this is maybe a way to transition into a more sound money backed electronic or digital currency. Chris Blasi, please tell people more about the interesting things they'll find at your website.
Chris, I think one of the greatest things that we offer is something called the PMC ounce, the precious metals composite. And I would say it is revolutionary in the sense that it took the best of two worlds, the ease of trade of, you know, what people have with what they feel with an ETF or something, but with actual physical precious metals in a storage account that's fully allocated and assigned in the client's name. And the bottom line is, we are a full-service precious metals dealer, right? We deal in all the traditional bars and coins. But the PMC ounce is a turnkey, diversified portfolio that trades, you know, each ounce bought or sold is an instantaneous precious metals diversified portfolio with a logically weighted position in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. I mean, there's so much to talk about the benefits of it. You know, most of it can be seen on our website. We have a number of tools and graphs. The purpose of it isn't to beat the market. It's not a managed fund, but it's a logically weighted portfolio that the blended return that the PMC ounce offers and basically has demonstrated since its inception in 2008 means a blended return that mitigates and lessens the volatility that someone experiences if they're in just one or two of the metals. And I'm happy to say that we've been recognized by some well-known analysts for financial analysts and precious metals experts who have followed it for several years and have actually been recommending it quite aggressively as probably as the most logical way to run a precious metals portfolio. So, you know, I'd encourage people to visit NeptuneGlobal.com. Just to learn about it. We're here to answer any questions and assist anyone in getting a better understanding of how it could help them.
Chris Blasi, we'll look forward to having you back if you have time in 2017 on Gold Seek Radio.
Thanks, Chris. It was great talking with you, and I appreciate your audience's time and attention.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. When I began my career as a business and motivational speaker, a leading consultant to political leaders at that point in time told me that the key word in American politics in the 1990s would be accountability. One could argue if that prediction ever fully materialized in the 1990s or later, but especially now, as we observe what appears to be a fundamental lack of accountability on the part of many current and former political figures. There's so much political intrigue being dispensed at the moment, from what happened to special counsels to reshuffling management positions within the administration to the UN speech and the reaction to Rocketman, that it all may well be momentarily distracting for many. But reality is about to set in once again for the second time in a one-year span. Very soon, health insurance companies will be announcing the status and pricing of 2018 Obamacare plans. Last year, double-digit and mid-double-digit price increases were commonplace, and there were some triple-digit increases as well. Individual deductibles typically range from $6,000 to $7,000, and family deductibles are typically over $12,000 for a bronze plan. So yes, you've got coverage, technically, but potentially very large deductibles as well. So with many plans, it's like paying cash for services. And if you actually need the insurance, you can actually create $6,000 to $12,000 or more of real medical bills, which, if you can't pay them, you simply enter the debt and collection merry-go-round for unpaid medical bills and then rinse and repeat for the next year. Those in Washington who don't have to participate in such plans and are exempted but who do decide for the rest of America appear to be so out of touch and so in denial as to the real reason political change hit the shores of Washington, D.C. last November. And it's not a new reason. If I hearken back to James Carville framing the 1992 presidential race when he said, "It's the economy, stupid." Well, guess what? It's the healthcare economy, stupid. And everyone stranded on the political version of Gilligan's Island, better known as Washington, D.C., either isn't listening, has forgotten, or really is in denial. And what they continue to deny is that little thing called accountability. Their accountability. What's going to happen in the next 45 to 60 days as 2018 healthcare information begins to make its way into the public is the same thing that quietly happened this time last year as the same information was released. More change for Washington. Because it really is the economy. And more specifically, the healthcare economy. Stupid. The lack of accountability on the part of Congress is reshaping Congress and politics in ways that polls and fake news cannot yet imagine, but will likely be made known in 2018 and 2020. It's going to get bumpy, and that giant elephant in the room called healthcare is once again going to silently lead the way. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at ConquerChange. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.